The handout sheet in the bulletin, if you care to follow along. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're talking about. And Ephesians chapter 6, progressing through the armor that God has given to us. And we're at on verse 16, where it says, notice how the King James puts it, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now that's our memory verse for the week. If you follow that memory verse schedule at all throughout the week, it's the text verse that we're going to be using here. But if you'll notice your handout sheet, for a Sunday that we are having Lord's Supper, you're thinking, our pastor has lost his mind, right? It's just a little bit more detail on there. It does go rather quickly. And I know what you're saying right now. You're saying, yeah, right. So at the end of the service, you might be able to say that I have accomplished that. Or at the end of the service, you might say, I'm going to go home and pray for it because my pastor is a compulsive liar. One or the other. I don't know what category I'm going to fall in, but we'll find out here in the next 24 to 25 minutes. But if you'll take your sheet, I want you to look at this introduction, because I think it's very interesting. And I am going to bring a separate message on this, but I thought I would introduce this because I think this is the time to do that. All the pieces of the armor are essential. There is a distinction between the first three pieces and the remaining three. Now, I want you to notice in the Bible there is, and notice that distinction. The first three are translated with the verb to have, which indicates permanency, okay? And what it means is that we are to wear those three pieces permanently as long-range preparation. Now, I want you to look at the scriptures there to see that. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, and here's that verb, having. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, okay? That's the first one. The second one is, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, correct? And notice this, the third one, and your feet. Now, it doesn't say, well, it doesn't have the word have there, but that's understood. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And that means that's permanent. As a soldier, you would have that on, prepared for battle. Now, the latter three are translated with the verb to take, which indicates they are close at hand for whenever the battle ensues. There we go. Now notice this. What he says, above all, here's that verb, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet, there it is again, of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now you say, well, it doesn't say that. Well, that's understood. And take the sword of the Spirit. So now we have a division in the armor. First three are permanent. The next three is something that you would keep close at hand so that when the battle is taking place, we would all understand that hopefully, a lot of times when I talk about the fact that we are in a battle, the battle's real, Satan is our enemy, we might think as that happens all the time. Well, there are times when we're not being challenged, correct? I mean, I thought this weekend at my house was rather interesting, okay? I'm going to put a bathroom in downstairs, so I tore the ceiling out in the back room, which I was very nice. I hung plastic over all the doorways so there would be no dust go through the house. So, Karen's not in here, but she would say that I was really nice for doing that. But while I was going down in the basement to get a tool on Friday morning, as I noticed a huge puddle of water downstairs in the basement. Well, Richard, when we were on vacation, he fixed our sink, and he did a good job. It wasn't the sink. Our dishwasher decided to blow up. And my wife run the dishwasher Thursday night as we went to bed, so I didn't catch it. So we washed the dishes, and all the water went in the basement. Ruined the floor. So I tore that out. And I'm tearing floor out, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if this is an attack. Right? Because yesterday, and praise the Lord, I got a new dishwasher and got it in, and it works, and no leaks. Hallelujah. So anyways, now that you know what I did this weekend, Okay. The Roman soldier would always be wearing his belt, breastplate, and shoes, but when there was a lull in the battle, he might temporarily lay aside his shield, sword, and helmet. And so what we're going to do is I'll develop that theme a little bit more, but let's go ahead and let's look at number one. So we're going to talk about this shield. The description of the shield is this. The Greek word usually refers to the large shield that's rectangular in shape. And I left all this information on there because I just find it very interesting. Now, a lot of times when we see, you know, Captain America's big right now and he has that little shield, you know, and he throws that thing, you say, yes, see, look at that. I know a little bit about that stuff. I'm not a big Captain America fan, but you got to, I mean, they advertise the daylights out of it. So if you, I mean, the only way I would know is if I was blind, okay? We're not talking about a shield like that. We're talking about a shield that is probably 2.5 feet wide, which I need that. As wide as I'm getting, I need it about that wide. Okay? And about 4.5 foot high, and it would literally set in front of the soldier. Now, it would be very heavy. There were some people that actually carried the shields. Or if you do different reading and you see that, and it was made of several different materials, wood planks. Can you imagine carrying wood planks around on a battlefield? Well, when arrows are coming at you, as the scripture goes on, talks about fiery darts, arrows would be dipped in pitch and shot at you. So also the shield would be made, and it would have metal on it also. It would be covered in metal, and many times they had leather on it too, and then they would soak it in water. So here you are, you're a soldier, you're in a battle, and the battle's ensuing, and these flaming arrows are coming at you. The shield would protect you from the arrow because it would stick into it, but the wet leather on it would extinguish the fire from the pitch and keep you from being harmed. And so that's a description of the shield. Well, the Bible calls it a shield, and we really can't understand that other than history and seeing pictures of it, because if you liken the battle and the armor today to our armed forces, there's all kinds of different things today. But this is given to us in the Word of God. Paul was referring to a Roman soldier that was doing it, so it behooves us to look at that model. But now he talks about the fact that it is a shield of faith. And that's where we come to understanding, well, what is this talking about? Look at that. We're on the backside already. Isn't that incredible? You say, okay, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I think you can do this. Okay, so now, as we read, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see, that if we're going to talk about faith, no better place to go to than Hebrews chapter 11. You say, well, Pastor, I pretty well know everything that's in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I'm glad you do, because then this will just be review, right? Amen? Good time to review. But I want you to look at this as we look at a definition of faith. Someone says to you, what is faith? See, we know what faith is, don't we? You know what faith is? See, faith is more than holy hoping, right? Holy wishing. That's what we think it is, but it isn't, because Hebrews tells us something about, A is this. Notice how clear the writer to the Hebrews, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, makes faith, where he says this. Believing that God is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, that's verse 6, isn't it? Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, Him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Okay, so that's the first element of a definition. You have to believe that God is. Amen? And so as we look at that, as we consider that, the Christian believes that God is the divine author of Scripture, that Christ is God, and that Christ died, rose, and is coming again. Now notice this. That's what it means to believe that God is. That's why a lot of times people stumble. People stumble and say, okay, I believe in God. It's just I can't believe that Jesus is God. Did you ever hear somebody say that? I have. As a matter of fact, I used to always struggle with talking to people of different cults, and one of the cults being Jehovah's Witnesses. Because it always seemed as though if I said, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" they said, "Well, yeah." But then you say, well then he must be my brother in Christ. But you have to understand this, is that they use the same terminology, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Because here's what you need to ask them. Do you believe that Jesus, before he died, was God? Now, did you notice what I just said? Because they will believe that Jesus is God after he died, because God made him a God and raised him King Jesus. But before that, he said, no, Jesus is just a man. He's just a man, just like you and me. Well, the Bible does teach us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus, right? Verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Correct? Okay, that means that Jesus was God in eternity past. And that he was God when he came to earth. He became man. The mystic union, the great kenosis is the theological term for that. And he becomes man. But he was all of man, yet all of God. And he died for us. See, we have to believe that Jesus is God. Not after he died. Because he is the second of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son. And notice this. Notice what that passage says. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what are they talking about? Talking about salvation. See, the Christian knows that by turning from sin and self and believing in Christ, they will enter his kingdom. Do you know Jesus today? That's what that's talking about. The first principle of faith is to know God and know him in a saving fashion, if I could put it that way. Amen? There's many people. You do all kinds of surveys. Michael mentioned it in Sunday school today, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, but, you know, Gallup poll put a poll out, and, you know, here they always have different polls going on, but, you know, 90-some percent, I think it was 92%, Michael? 92%. See, I was listening in Sunday school. And my wife wasn't there to keep me awake, but I did stay awake. 92% of people polled in America said they believe in God. But that doesn't mean that those 92% know God in a saving fashion. Amen? Come on now. Oh yeah, because the Bible says faith is, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. B is this. Faith is trusting completely and unconditionally in his word. Look at verse 1. You said, well, I can't believe you jumped to verse 6 without going to verse 1. Well, look at verse 1 where it says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You see, that's what we talk about. We like that. Well, it's not faith that you can see it. Thomas said that. Jesus turned around to Thomas and he said, Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see. And of course, Jesus appears right behind me. And I can just imagine those guys snickering and everything like that, because Thomas just was not even aware that Jesus was there. Thomas turns around, there's Jesus, and he says, behold my hands and my side, right? Because Thomas said, I won't believe unless I put my finger in the nail prints and I thrust my hand in his side. And Jesus said at that time, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Amen? Because that's what faith is. You came in, sat down on that pew today, and you exercised faith. Why? Because it didn't fall, right? Did you ever sit down in a chair and have it give way? I don't want to embarrass our doctor here, Dr. Steve, today, but I was up at Goodwill's one time, right? Do you remember that, Steve? Some friends of ours came down from Bakerburg. That's when I drove the Corvette. And I promised you, if you gave again, I would never drive it again. And I have kept true to mine. Have you kept true to yours? There you go, Donnie. I got that in there. But when we were in at Goodwill's getting something to eat, Dr. Steve and Connie were in there, and they were some friends. And how did I know that Dr. Steve was there? Well, Dr. Steve was sitting on a chair in the restaurant. Do you remember that? Don't you, Steve? Doesn't remember. And he was leaning back. Now, who can guess what happened? Okay? I will say this. Everybody in the restaurant knew Dr. Steve was in the restaurant. Everybody knew it. Because he just went over just like that. See, you thought I was going to fall. I'm not a stunt man. Okay. I didn't want to throw the big chairs over. I felt bad that one time I did that. See, now I'll pick this up. You see, we understand what it means to have faith. Because we sit down and we put our full rest in things like that. That's faith. Sometimes it gets questioned when things go out from underneath us. And then all of a sudden we're not quite so faithful anymore. And you go, okay. And it takes us a little while to get that faith back, right? So now notice this. Faith is trusting completely and unconditionally in God's Word, okay? The Greek word translated, now here's amazing, translated substance, because that's what it's talking about. Other assurance in other translations where it says, now faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Appears that word that's translated substance appears two other times in the book of Hebrews. Now if you'll turn with me quickly, say, you ain't going to make it. I'm going to make it. Hebrews chapter 1. Now notice this. Now we're going to try to understand what faith is, okay? Hebrews chapter 1 says this in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That word person is the same word in the Greek that's translated substance. In chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I want you to go to verse 14, to chapter 3 and verse 14. I want you to see something else here. Because what we're trying to do is understand. Now, what does this mean? When it talks about the substance of things hoped for, what is it talking about? What is faith? When we look at verse 3 and verse 14, we have this word. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our, and here's that word, confidence. Our confidence steadfast unto the end. So you have three words used in the book of Hebrews that talk about faith, that define faith. You have substance, you have person, and you have confidence. And they're all the same Greek word. From that we derive this statement. And this is C on your sheet. Faith is the assurance that God's promises have essence, content, and reality. The first one talked about the person. It was talking about Christ having the essence of the Father. The second one is talking about content. Our faith has content. It's not just some hoping. Our content and the object of our faith is Christ. Amen? And then it has reality. It has its impact in our life today. I was thinking about all the different examples that you could use. One that we all readily would acknowledge is, you know, I really believe strongly that if I stand out in a road or if I run out in front of a truck, it's going to hit me, right? That faith plays out in reality in my life where I watch when I go across the road. Amen? So what when he's talking about this idea of faith is trusting completely and unconditionally in His Word, and His Word defines that it's essence, content, and reality. Is that what your faith is? You know, you say, well, I can't explain it like that. But it is essence. Jesus is of the essence of the Father. Just like the Holy Spirit is of the essence of the Father. That's the Trinity. The content is this, is do you believe in, as you were showed your sinfulness before God, that Jesus died for you, God. He rose again for you. And when we look at this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, well, I have faith I'm going to get, you know, my favorite muscle car. See, I'm 60 years old now, so I'm starting to think like a kid again. You know, I saw a 65 Mustang the other day. I had a 66 Fastback. You know, you can throw the 65s away. The 66 Fastback is the best one I've ever seen in my life. But I think I saw a 67 Fastback that winked at me. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'd like to have one of them. You know, see, that's what we do. And I can say, now, faith, I'm going to get that. That's something that you hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Hasn't one showed up yet in the backyard? That's not faith, folks. Okay? And then D is faith is living on the basis of things not seen. And that's what it comes down to. And so you say, well, you know, I would find it so much easier to believe in Jesus if he was here. The Pharisees rejected him. People showed up when he fed them with next to nothing and they walked away. Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. I used to think that too. But the Bible says, as Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because people will tell you when you witness to them, well, how can you believe that you can't see it? You know, they believe an awful lot that they can't see either. And so now, number three is this. Now we're getting to our passage. You say, wow, boy, that was a long way around. That's a long introduction. Well, it's pretty short, this part. Above all may mean that the shield is to be used against everything. You notice in that passage in Ephesians, it says, above all, taking... Now, that's interesting because words have meaning, do they not? We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. We talked about having our feet shod. And isn't that interesting that God in His sovereignty and as the Holy Spirit superintended the giving of the Scriptures to us, He chose the words above all. Above all means this, is that, you know what? It is a priority in the Christian's life. And what is it for? Well, what do we have? Above everything. See, this is more necessary than any of them. A is this, faith is all in all to us in the hour of temptation. I contend this today, folks. Listen, Christians are walking around without their shield because they don't think it's even necessary. Well, what do you mean? Do we not face temptations? What is temptation? Temptation is a solicitation to do wrong, correct? Just that simple. A solicitation to do wrong. Whether it be selfish, whether it be greedy, whether it would be, I heard somebody say something. All these solicitations that are around there for us to be lazy, for a temptation for us to be liked more than for us to be godly. Every time you have the opportunity to witness to someone, is there not a temptation there that what happens if they don't like me anymore? They're going to think I'm one of these crazy people. And I jest about that stuff. Guys at Woodmo thought I was crazy anyways. Didn't matter. I just gave them a reason to think I was crazy. Attaboy, Tom. I pay Tom to come to church. He's amen corn. Right? And so what happens is this, is that here we have a temptation, the Bible says, and we'll talk more about this, it'll be a fiery dart from Satan coming into our life. And if you don't have that shield of faith there, because it still hits the shield, it still impacts you to some degree. If the pitch gets on you, it burns a little bit, but it stills a whole lot better than you taking the force of that temptation without that shield of faith. Many times, if we're not careful, you know what we think church is for? Well, I remember years ago, a young family had a fire in their trailer. We took a small check, really, from the deacon's fund. It was a family that wasn't even in our church. Took it down, gave it, the man's name was John. I can still see it in my mind. He showed up for church next Sunday. We were having a fellowship dinner. And from then, we didn't have our buildings joined together, so we had to stand outside. It was a nice day. He said to me, "You know what? If I get going to church, I'm sure things are going to start happening in my life a whole lot better." He didn't hear me preach very long. You know, let me ask you something. Okay, going to take a survey today. Take an extra minute here, too. How many of you have had something in your house or with your car break this year? Let me see. Hold your hands up real high. Okay, for those of you that haven't, look around. You are just waiting, right? Right? You're just waiting. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Now watch this. How many of you in this room, in the last year, in the last 365 days, we're going to throw that 366 out, just 365, going to give everybody, going to spot everybody one day, how many of you in this last year have been sick? Okay? Yeah. How many of you have been sick enough to go to the doctor? Okay, we got a couple that do their own doctor, and that's good. My mom used to tell me, you had to be dead at the Dressler House, right? Rich is here, he'll testify. I used to lay on the couch and moan, 8, 9 years old. She'd holler in from the kitchen, "David, you're not dying." I'm thinking to myself, how does she know? Right? That's what any 8-year-old kid would say. How would she know? It's true, I'm still here. Right? Okay, so people walk around, they think that, well, I'm gonna come to the Lord for all these different reasons. And what happens? They don't realize it. It's not realized in their life. You know why? Because they've not come genuinely. They've not come by faith. They've not experienced saving faith. God is not a genie in a bottle that you rub it. God is just not there, "Well, we got a rainy day. Well, I've had a tough time in our life." I'll tell you what, the testimony of Christians ought to be this, is that, you know what? God has either orchestrated or allowed my dishwasher to soak my floor, and I'm okay with that. Amen? He gave me the wherewithal to fix it, and I'm just glad I got a new one. I would just assume the old one was fixed, but that's okay. Praise God. Amen? Either way, God's faithful. Come on now, amen? That's what it's all about when we talk about faith. See, it's our hour of temptation. I wonder how many Christians curse God in their hour of temptation because they don't have their faith. They don't have their shield of faith. See, an hour of temptation may be an argument that you have with your spouse. Oh, you don't think about that? See, me and Karen, we never had an argument in our life. But then we're both liars, too, so it don't matter, right? See, you get to the point where you come to church, there's that lying preacher again. I can't wait till he goes on vacation because truth will be taught, right? So what happens is this, and then B is this. We can continue on. See, but with the shield, notice this. If we look at the other things, the shield is something that we can turn every way. The vitals are protected with the breastplate, with the belt, with the feet. But with the shield, we turn that to where the battle is raging in our life. What are your temptations today? What are the temptations that you have? And then B is this, faith is the victory over the world. Now, 1 John, we're out of time this morning, but I will say this, is that I'm just going to read the verse for you. Oh, it's on the screen too. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Isn't that interesting? This shield of faith, what is it? It's our victory over the world. You say, "Well, Pastor, help me. Help me understand that, okay?" Perfect. Perfect thing happened. Perfect thing happened on Friday. I don't agree with it, and you know it happened too. Our federal government has released a statement that all the public schools have to now provide gender, has to allow transgender people to use the bathroom of their choice, right? Well, I don't know about you. I disagree with that, don't you? Okay, now watch this. My Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our world can do what they want to. I can have the victory because my faith is not in this government. It's not in the things of this world. It is in God. Amen? And no matter how messed up this world is, I can still serve God. I can still walk with God. And you know what? I can have a place in this world where I am a light for Christ. Amen? Come on now. Amen? Isn't that it? You know what happens? You know what's the problem with our world today? You know what's wrong with our world today? Casual Christians running around. Oh, world's in a bad place. I don't know what I can do about it. I'm so discouraged. Really? Today's a great day. Today is a great day to live for Christ. Amen? Today is a great day to walk with God. Today is a great day to let your light shine. But you know what? It might cost us something now. Come on now, amen? It might be the world saying, well, if they get close enough within arm's reach, maybe I can bust his nose too. Well, is that it? I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You see what I'm saying? You know what our problem is? We want to be liked by the world, and we want to preach a gospel that's offensive to the world. So you know what we ought to do? We've got to decide. Let's decide. Do we want the world to like us, or do we want them getting saved and going to heaven? What do we want? Can't have it both. But everybody who comes, you know what they do then? Then they love us. You know why? Because they hear truth. They know there's a family here. Come on now, amen? And you know what? Do we have our shields in place? Let's pray.